Hello everyone, I'm Brana Breslin.
And I'm Dia Sharma.
Welcome to the debut episode of YANA, where we're on a mission to normalize mental health discussions and foster a supportive community. YANA stands for You Are Not Alone, and that's exactly what this podcast is all about. Here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, we're breaking barriers and challenging the stigma surrounding mental health. Through candid conversations, expert insights, and personal stories, we're exploring the highs and lows of mental health well-being altogether.
And today, we're thrilled to have a remarkable guest joining us, Herman Abukowski. Herman is not only a certified registered nurse anesthetist, but also an advocate for continual self-improvement. He believes that with enough motivation, any goal is achievable. Despite facing challenges, including a prosthetic foot, Herman has competed in multiple races, sparring competitions, and even earned his third degree black belt in wushu. So let's dive into this inspiring conversation and continue our journey of empowerment and support. Because here in YANA, you are not alone. Hello, Herman. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for letting me be part of this experience in your first official episode. It's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mm. So to dive into the questions, firstly, we were both wondering, could you take us back to when you first received your prosthetic foot? And really, what were your thoughts and like emotions during that time?
Sure. So I was born with a congenital malformation of my left lower extremity. It's resulted in me having a shorter leg. I have an ankle, but no foot after that. For people who may be listening who are familiar with surgical procedures, it's very familiar to what's called a Symes amputation, where basically they take the front of the foot off. So I don't have a full memory of my first prosthetic and being there, because I was really young. I was like 3 years old, maybe a little younger. But I have a lot of memories of the processes of going through it. Growing up, you need to get a leg quite often, a prosthetic leg, I should say, because you're growing. It's like getting clothes as a kid. You have to constantly get new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped around a bunch of different prosthetists, who are individuals who make the prosthetics, just because there weren't ones around where I was living. So when I finally got the one that was closest to me, I think it was like about an hour drive in Edison, New Jersey. But being a kid and doing this, it's a long process. It's several months of just getting the prosthetic fitted and things like that. And that time when you're there can be very boring, especially for a child. It's let's put some plaster on. Let's get a cast of your leg. Okay, chill out for a couple hours while we figure this out and let's do the next step. And then when you finally go in, you start getting the plastic molds and finally the actual prosthetic. So all that boringness kind of led to a silly delirium as a child of just like, what do I do for all this time?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, every time I think about it, my favorite thought is as a kid, I would be so bored, I'd get on the stool that the prosthetist would sit on when they would put the castings on my leg, and I'd lay on my chest and I'd run as fast as I can down the hallway pretending I was Superman. Yeah, I think that's probably the memory that I have when I think about getting it and like the process. But it just, you know, it happens so many times that for me, the general idea of that first prosthetic is not there, but the emotions of it are really kind of like happiness. Like, ooh, new leg. Yeah, like I actually just got the one I'm wearing about a year ago, and I was so excited to finally get a new one because the old one was starting to wear out and hurt me a little bit.
If you don't mind me asking, I was wondering why you got a prosthetic foot.
Yeah, so as far as like with the like being able to walk without it kind of thing, or
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my limb is, I don't know the exact measurement, but it's off by enough that I would have some serious hip pain if I walked around without it. I'm fortunate enough that I can actually walk around on my residual limb. A lot of people who have prosthetics, it's usually a lot higher. And so for them, the only option really is to wear their prosthetic everywhere they go. And unfortunately, there's that whole no shoes, no shirt, no service thing. And I can't wear a shoe on that foot. So if I want to get a takeout, I kind of got to wear my leg.
Yeah.
So you mentioned being born with a congenital malformation. Mm-hmm. So did your parents know about it before you were born?
They actually didn't. It was kind of a contentious thing, or maybe that's not the right word for it, but there had been ultrasounds done when I was young, and the ultrasound wasn't as good back then, and they didn't catch anything wrong. So when I was born, it was kind of a scary thing for the doctors and then eventually my parents, because I came out and all of a sudden, hey, this kid has no foot. What's going on? What else could be wrong? So I was rushed out of the room, and it kind of ignored my mother and parents for quite a while. And they just checked to make sure everything else was okay with me. So for my mother, that was kind of a harrowing experience. It was interesting, like, as you mentioned, I'm a certified registered nurse anesthetist. One of the reasons why I really felt that calling to anesthesia is hearing the story from my mother about that experience she had when I was born. She remembers the one person who actually comforted her through the whole thing was the anesthesiologist who was there wiping away her tears because she had no idea what was happening. Her child had just been taken away from her, like what was going on. And that person was able to really help her through that situation. And that, you know, hearing that really inspired me towards this goal of what I became.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Actually, my mom is one as well. So now hearing you say that story makes me appreciate her job more.
And she is a wonderful person, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. So we were also wondering, growing up with a prosthetic foot, what were some of the challenges that you faced in your daily life? And really, how did you learn to like overcome these types of challenges?
Yeah, so challenges, some were consistent throughout my growing up. Some were kind of dependent on the prosthetic. And prosthetics really changed in the way that they worked in the last, I'm 37. So I got my first prosthetic, 34 years ago. So there's been a huge growth in the prosthetic industry and how they work. And my first one was held onto my thigh with Velcro straps. And that was awfully painful because you imagine you got this Velcro just rubbing up on your leg. My parents loved to tell a funny story about how they were walking me through the grocery store. And I was a very pretty baby, according to my parents. But they were walking me through the grocery store and all these people were just like oohing and awing and like just staring at them and their child who was in this stroller. And my mom was walking down multiple aisles and all of a sudden they realized my prosthetic with the straps had fallen down. So I had one leg that looked like it was a foot longer than the other. So they were staring at me because like, what's up with this kid with this super long leg? But they slowly got better. I eventually had one with a zipper system for a very short amount of time until I got the ones that I have now where they have the last one had a hinge. This one has a back door that comes off completely. But as far as the challenges that led to that is in my youth, the prosthetics were not comfortable. I actually really hated them growing up when I was a young child and before I hit 10, 11, 12 range. And so I took it off any second I could. But then as I got a little older, it got a little better. My older prosthetics, I'd say older than maybe like 6 years ago, they would cause a lot of pain for me because they were all the way up to my knee. And so there were these kinds of like wings that covered the sides of my knees. And every time I'd hinge, the sock and the prosthetic would rub up against. So I would get massive like burns, almost like rope burn, like skin tearing on both sides of my leg to the point where like, if I went on a hike, I'd have to put moleskin on and like powder it up. So it was just something I kind of knew that was going to happen on a long hike. So I'm an Eagle Scout. You know, I used to carry moleskin anyway for my other foot. So I had moleskin for my leg too on the prosthetic side. Running was always hard. Running is still hard if I don't wear a running prosthetic, which I'm fortunate enough to have one. But not having an ankle or a calf to really give me that extra push that you get when you're running kind of turns my leg in sort of, for lack of a better term, kind of dead weight. Like my thigh is what really powers everything, you know, in my glutes. So the strength required for me to get the same lift, even like in a jump from my left leg, is a lot more than with my right. And I'm still, even to this day, my left leg suffers from not being as strong. It's something I'm actually currently trying to work on over the last year or so. Swimming. Not terrible swimmer, surprisingly. I kind of swim like a mermaid, oddly enough. Like I keep my legs together and flip with the one foot. But going into the water is something I always had to think about because my prosthetics aren't designed to be wet. They have metal bits of them. So if I go into chlorinated water, I got to take it off. Or if I go to the beach, I have to take it off. So for me, that was always something as a child. It was like, okay, well, I need to figure out where I'm going to take my leg off when I go to the pool. So that I know it's there, I can get to it, and I can get back and forth and not slip because there's, you know, I don't have a lot of grip on that leg. And then with the beach, the sand is usually the biggest issue for me. It's either gets in the prosthetic, and so I get home, and if I flip the leg over, all of a sudden I got a puddle of sand on the floor, or making sure that I clean my leg off really well before I put the prosthetic back on. Otherwise, I get that abrasive kind of sand. And I'm droning on because I'm trying to think of other ones, but I'm reminded of a story. So I was fortunate enough to go to Israel about 10 years ago. And when I went to the Dead Sea, which, you know, is extremely salinated, it's supposed to be very good for your skin. And let me tell you, it hurts when you get in if you've been hiking for a while, but it doesn't hurt the second you get out. But it's extremely hot too. The sun is like beating down on all these stones. I can't wear flip-flops when I take my leg off. And I remember like hopping down the beach because the sand and stones were so hot on my leg that I felt it was going to burn from not having those sandals. But as far as like emotional things, like I can't think of a single instance growing up that anyone actually was like inherently mean to me. And I don't think kids are inherently mean. I think they're usually just curious and they don't recognize, you know, more often than not, parents are the ones who are like, no, don't ask that question. You know, it's okay. It's a kid. They want to know. They want to learn. Mm-hmm. But as far as overcoming any of those obstacles or even ones that I'm not thinking about right now, I credit my parents. They never taught me to treat it as a limitation.
Could you share a pivotal moment from your childhood or teenage years where you realized that having a prosthetic foot wouldn't limit your potential?
Yeah, I have to go back to like kind of what I just said, is the idea that my parents really taught me to never treat this as limiting, never treat this as a disability. It was merely something that I had to deal with, and I was fortunate enough to know that. My mother used to say, and I guess this is that pivotal moment, is the idea that my mom used to tell me, hey, everyone has to deal with something. Everyone has to. They might not know what they have to deal with eventually, but I'm fortunate enough to have known that one thing at least that I would have to deal with and that I could start working on that from a young age. So maybe not so much an outside factor, but an internal factor that came to recognize that I was not limited by this prosthetic.
Yeah. It sounds like you had an incredible support system from your parents and their belief in you truly made a difference. Having supportive parents can make a world of difference in our lives, and their belief in us gives us the confidence to pursue our dreams and overcome our obstacles.
I agree 100%.
So what inspired you to push beyond societal expectations and pursue activities like racing and sparring competitions despite having a prosthetic foot?
Yeah, it's a great question. So forgive me being crass, but societal expectations suck. Everybody experiences them, not just people with prosthetics. You know, we all face societal expectations every day. You know, as a man, in the past, there was a lot of push to say, you know, never show your emotions, never cry. And we can see like on Instagram and TikTok reels all the time, the kind of generational trauma that has caused. So even outside of the fact that I have a prosthetic, you know, there are these things that kind of impact us. But in relation to my prosthetic, I don't think I ever really had a desire to prove myself for society. Everything and every challenge that I went to was always an internal motivation of, I'm going to prove to myself what I can do. And when it comes to things like racing and sparring especially, there's only so much someone else can help you. Once you get there, it's all you. Like someone else may have helped you train or anything like that, but every step forward at that point, every decision, you either do it or you don't.
Today, we're thrilled to have a remarkable guest joining us, Herman Abukowski. We're going to take a short break. We'll continue our conversation in a little bit.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning public affairs programs weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, politics, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archive programs. WDIY, Public Affairs on 88.1 FM, streaming at WDIY.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back from our break. We are now going to be continuing our conversation with Herman about his mental health journey. So our first question is, how do you maintain a healthy balance between pushing yourself to achieve your goals and being mindful of your physical limitations due to your prosthetic foot?
Humility. In any physical sport, when you don't understand yourself and your body, that's when you get hurt. My martial arts instructor has actually asked me to compete in sparring competitions for the last year since I've moved back to New Jersey. And I've refused because I simply don't have the time to focus on that type of training. And so I'm unwilling to, you know, make myself hurt. And then even when it comes down to different training modalities. I know we're talking about my prosthetic, but 6 months ago I hurt my knee training because I stupidly decided as a 37-year-old I was going to go train with all the 6-year-olds doing into their little drop stances and falling on the floor and hurt my knee. So understanding yourself really does come down to a way that you can protect yourself mentally and physically. Understanding what it is you're capable of and realistically seeing what you can do. So in martial arts, within wushu, the style I try, which is the Chinese martial arts, there's a thing called a horse stance where it kind of looks like you're riding a horse. You get down into a very wide squat. Your feet are supposed to be flat on the floor facing forward. I can't do that. My prosthetic ankle doesn't bend. There's no way for me to actually get a perfect horse stance. That's okay. I understand that. It doesn't bother me because realistically, does it change the way I operate as far as my martial arts? No. If I do a competition, am I mindful of the idea that I might lose a couple points because the people judging me don't know I have a prosthetic? Sure, but I can't change that. And I really don't have an ego that I need to feed to say I'm going to push myself to do a triple backflip that I've never done before when I can't really jump that great off my left leg anyway. And don't get me wrong, there are definitely times where I train. Like, my teacher's son is a phenomenal martial artist. I watch him train. I don't even know. I think he's a freshman in high school. He's been training since he was 3 years old. This kid can jump through the air and do a spinning back kick and all this cool stuff. I've never been able to do that. It doesn't hurt me when I watch that, though. Instead, it inspires me to do the best I know I can do. All that is to say, I think realistically knowing your limits and not using them as a means to stop you from progressing, but using them as a means to say, okay, what can I do? And I'm going to do that to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm. So how has your mental resilience been tested through the process of competing with a prosthetic, and what mindset techniques have you found helpful in your journey?
I don't think I'm going to answer this the way you expect, and maybe I'm wrong, but the mental resilience challenges that I've had have been more to do with actually my interactions with other racers. I remember the first race I did, people were like clapping me on the shoulder and being like, yeah, you got this, you're an inspiration, or they'd say, hey, thank you for your service and things like that. And I'd never served. I actually wanted to serve, but I was denied because of my prosthetic. But there was something that actually kind of hurt me emotionally when that would happen. I shouldn't have taken it personally. And my growth through being mindful and really reframing things has changed my thoughts on those subjects. But initially I thought, well, I'm no different from anybody else. Yes, I have a prosthetic, but every other person chose to train and every other person chose to be here and compete. On that level, we're equal. So why am I any more inspiring than them who is here competing? Like, what about the individual who might be dealing with crippling depression? And for them, it's a struggle to even get out of bed, but they're here and no one knows. My disability just happens to be physical, like that you can see. And then, like, as far as, you know, people thanking me for the military, that only hurt because it was something that I so fervently wanted to do. The idea of service was just so ingrained in me. I mean, like, I'm a nurse now, so obviously I chose service as a career path, but I did want to serve in the military. And so when people would give me that sort of affirmation, it felt like I was receiving a praise that I didn't deserve. And that kind of hurt. Like, I was stealing something from somebody else that they deserved. And it took me a while to kind of get over that. But again, through this kind of reframing, I started to realize, well, hey, you know, it's not really about me. It's about the individual. They're being supportive of someone who served. And that's a wonderful thing. And so when I learned to say, hey, you know what? Okay, this doesn't make me upset. In reality, I tell them I didn't serve and I say, thank you. Thank you for being supportive of individuals from the military service, because that's a wonderful thing that people go out of their way to show support, and that should be nurtured. That should be shown that, hey, it's a good thing to come up to someone and say, hey, yeah, good for you. That's awesome. I'm proud of you. But that was really difficult for me in the beginning mentally with sports.
Yeah. The way that you said that, like, we're all, like, everyone is facing something, like you said, the example with crippling depression, and the idea, like, I think the message that you carried was that we should all support one another, which is what we truly believe in, mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal. Thank you.
And I do want to apologize for any of the listeners if my choice of words saying crippling depression was bothersome. That was my choice of words, and maybe I can work on that in the future, but just for anyone out there.
Yeah, thank you. So what advice would you offer to individuals who may be hesitant to pursue athletic endeavors due to physical challenges, such as having a prosthetic limb?
I think what you can achieve and do has everything to do with your motivation and believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go watch a Paralympic athlete. They are incredible. Their disability doesn't hold them back. And I'm definitely not a Paralympic athlete because I can barely run 3 miles at this point. I'm working at it, but I can't get there anymore. But understanding that your disability, whatever it is, it doesn't define you. You're not locked into this place of, I have a prosthetic, I'm an individual, and I'm not my prosthetic. I'm not my congenital malformation. I'm not my, I was born without a foot. I just happen to be a person who has those things as aspects of my life. And I exist within them. So I would say that for someone who maybe has a disability, or even someone who honestly is just like, I want to get to the gym more often and I'm not, find what drives you. Find what makes you want to do that thing. Make it a game. I remember there was this one Instagram reel I was reading. I was like, oh man, I'm trying to improve my ability to get up. And I've been working really hard to get up really early before work to exercise because I was having trouble finding time during the day. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to turn it into a game. I'm going to reward myself every time I go and do that. I used to go to a gym that was next to a Buffalo Wild Wings, and I would reward myself every once in a while by eating up all the calories I just burned, because of the days when I didn't want to go to the gym, I said, I'm going to go to the gym. But when I'm done, I'm going to get Buffalo Wild Wings. And so I would go in my running prosthetic in gym shorts every day. And this went on for a long time. I mean, I wouldn't reward myself every time, otherwise I wouldn't have ever lost any weight. But this went on for probably a year. And at one point I walked in and the hostess, the individual doing the takeout orders and everything, I asked her, I was like, hey, there's this promotional deal. I'd like to use that. And she goes, oh, by the way, that doesn't work with your military discount. What military discount? She goes, your military discount. I didn't serve in the military. And it turned into this really funny conversation where I never even looked at my receipt to know that I was getting a military discount for the last year. And she was beet red having found out that she just totally didn't even bother to ask me.
Yeah, I feel like that has to do with kind of what you said earlier about like how physical health is easy to see, but then mental health really isn't.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's this idea that you never know what someone's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't show it on the outside, it's not observed. You know, for individuals with disabilities, it's quite easy to see, oh, they have some kind of physical condition, some kind of potential health condition. But with mental health, which is why I'm so happy that you guys invited me to this podcast, it's not easily seen. It's something that someone could be walking around right next to you and having something that they are struggling with, and you would never know about it because it's not visible.
Yes, I completely agree with that. That was actually one of the motives that why Brana and I started this podcast, because we wanted to break that stigma and really highlight everyone's mental health journey. Because in one way or the other, we all have mental health, whether it's visible or not. So.
And I applaud you for that.
So how do you maintain a positive outlook and stay motivated in the face of physical limitations or setbacks related to your prosthetic?
I think a lot of it has to do with maintaining realistic goals. We kind of talked about the idea of my martial arts and, you know, seeing people do things that I knew I couldn't do. But if you constantly frame things around the idea of what can I not do? What is something that is maybe impossible or thought to be impossible to me? Well, then of course you're never going to do it. But if you instead look at things for what you can do, maybe I'll never get into that horse stance. But you know what I can do is I could really work on my hip flexibility and I can get my leg all the way up to my head. And I'm proud about that because a year ago I couldn't do that. So maintaining those goals, the realistic goals, I think is really of utmost importance, and understanding the things that maybe seem to hold you back don't necessarily hold you back, but maybe they point at a different route for you to do. again, within martial arts, there are so many different styles under the umbrella of what is called wushu, which is Chinese martial arts. There's northern styles, there's southern styles, and within those, there's all these differences. It's like a giant umbrella term. People call it kung fu. Same idea. But there are styles that I just physically have trouble with. And that's okay for me because I know that, well, what's the point of me trying to do a style that will never really help me, let's say, in a fight? If I can't do a jumping, spinning kick, then why do I need to train that? So I learned to do styles that are more effective for my body type and my prosthetic, things that are more either easy to do or actually reflect the strengths that that prosthetics provide me, which is basically a giant piece of metal or carbon fiber, which if you get hit by it, will really hurt a lot. But then also looking at those limitations or setbacks and seeing them as learning experiences, this idea of reframing and using something to teach you about yourself. And I really do credit my prosthetic with making me a more sympathetic individual. I honestly think that if I didn't have my prosthetic, one, I wouldn't be a nurse today because it's what inspired me to be a nurse and eventually led me to be a nurse anesthetist. I also would not have had as great an understanding as early on of what other people have to deal with and being able to sympathize with those other dealings that they deal with.
For our next question, we are wondering, what message would you like to share with our listeners who may be navigating their own journeys with their prosthetic limbs or other physical disabilities?
Everyone experiences things differently. I was fortunate to be born with my limb the way it is, and I've never known anything different. Someone who lost their leg after they were born may experience more distress for reasons. For individuals navigating their own journey, where whatever they are, no, it doesn't define you. You aren't your prosthetic limb. You aren't your trauma, your depression, or your cancer, whatever you're dealing with. They're all just what you're dealing with. Your life is what you make of it. If you want to do something and you can realistically do it, find a way to do it. You're not alone. There are support systems out there. There are people who have done it, and you can find them and you can do it too.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we're so excited to have you with us today and joining this very inspiring conversation. You're listening to Yana, You Are Not Alone on WDIY 88.1, and remember, you are not alone.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.